Welcome to the Everybody Wins three-part teleseminar. I'm Terry McBride, and I am honored that you would choose to spend this time with me. Today is the first part of this three-part teleseminar, and it's titled, How to Move Past Fear, Doubt, and Dis-ease. I'm calling dis-ease those times or things that cause us to focus on problems, challenges, sickness, or the things that aren't working. As you listen, I invite you to relax. Have fun. As we explore these ideas, just notice when you find something that you can use to improve the quality of your life. I have been coaching, teaching, and inspiring people to believe in themselves and move towards their dream for over 40 years. What I teach is that there are things that each of us can do inside ourselves, choices that we can make that will make a huge difference in the quality of our lives. And these last few years, as I travel and teach, I've encountered more and more people who are discouraged and disillusioned. This is a challenging time for many people, and I'm talking about real physical challenges. Millions of people have lost their homes. Millions more have lost the equity in their homes or their life savings. Many have lost their jobs and their pensions. People seem more worried today about their retirement, and there's more health issues than I have experienced in the past. When you couple this, these real physical challenges, with all the negatives we're bombarded with every day through the news, magazines, and other media, it's easy to understand why depression is the number one health challenge in America today. By depression, I mean those times where we're in a low mood, when we're feeling anxious, sad, hopeless, worried, worthless. Those times when we're irritable, that's what I'm calling depression. And it can be especially challenging for those of us who study and practice metaphysics, the power of the mind, positive thinking, those kinds of disciplines. Because when we find ourselves in negative situations or feeling down, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up, thinking, why did I create this? Or what did I do wrong? And what happens is after we beat ourselves up, we feel even worse. When these kinds of negative feelings and circumstances become the focal point of one's life, the first thing that gets damaged is hope. Because hope is fragile. Hope is about our expectations. Hope is about trust. Hope is about optimism and anticipation. Hope is about the possibility of something happening the way you want it to happen. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're all depressed. I'm just suggesting that many people today are dealing with more fear, doubt, and dis-ease than they are used to. And a negative focus like this takes much of the joy and satisfaction out of life now. Think about it. At the end of the day, are you excited about who you are and what you're doing with your life? Do you look forward to your tomorrows? There is mounting scientific opinion that you and I have been conditioned to focus on problems, threats, challenges, and obstacles. These scientists suggest that we are genetically predispositioned to worry. It's like our ancestors for millions of generations were the ones who paid strict attention to problems, threats, and challenges, because those who did not pay attention did not survive. Then bring in all that we've been taught we need to do before we're okay. You need to forgive enough. You need to be willing enough. you need to let go enough. What we end up with is that we're not enough now. Then you add on top of that all the lists of things we need to do if we're really going to be successful. The 6 habits, the 9 principles, the 4 disciplines, the 16 theories, the 8 steps. On and on, we are bombarded with all we need to do to be somebody and all the rules we need to follow. And sometimes, when the challenges just go on and on and on, we are left with, what's the use? Who cares? Yes, this is a challenging time for many people. And as many of you know, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to have no hope. As many of you know, in my early 20s through my early 30s, I had a supposedly incurable E. coli infection in my spine. I had that infection for 11 years. And back then, the best way to get E. coli was to cut it out. I had 27 major surgical procedures on my body, on my spine, on my abdomen, where they went in an attempt to cut out this infection. I had a colostomy where I went to the bathroom in a plastic bag. I had some incredible surgeons do things to my body a person is not supposed to recover from. I have letters from some of these surgeons to the insurance company saying that what I had was incurable and that I would be left with significant permanent disability. I know what it's like to be surrounded by disease and people who encouraged me to give up my dreams. It wasn't always as negative as face reality, although I had that too. Sometimes it was just the perhaps models. Perhaps the healing you're looking for may not include the healing of your body. Perhaps God has a bigger plan for you than you just getting well. Or when I was in the hospital for the 14th surgery, and they sent me to see a psychiatrist, and he told me my need to be whole was ego-driven. I know what it's like to spend days, weeks, and months lost in the drama of my dis-ease, where there appeared to be no hope. What I would tell you is that you are in the right place. Do not give up. You can get past your fear, doubt, and the dis-ease in your life, and you do that one step at a time, one day at a time, and you start right where you are. This month, as we tape these teleseminars, I'm going to be 70 years old, and I don't have a bad back. I'm not recovering from a bad back. I have none of the physical limitations or pain they said I would have, and I don't have a colostomy anymore. I am perfectly healthy. What I offer you today are some suggestions where you can start right where you are and begin moving to the life that you dream about, even if you're not sure that's possible yet. I encourage you, let these suggestions just roll around in your mind. First, you've got to get past the idea that you are your stuff. You've got to get past the idea that you're your history. When I was in that meeting with the psychiatrist and he was reading those letters from the doctors to the insurance company, when he was referring back to this stack of medical records that I had, when he referred to the prognosis of these world-class physicians, I finally said, look, I'm not my stuff. I'm not my story. I'm not my history. I'm not the prognosis of these doctors. I think people have more labels today about who they are than ever before. They have labels about their personal characteristics based on their past. I'm the adult child of an alcoholic parent. I'm the product of a dysfunctional family. I'm terribly codependent. My small self and saboteur are always separating me from my good. My addictive personality is always leading me astray. Or, of course, the big one, my ego is always trying to separate me from God. Or, I'm a Sagittarius, and you know how Sages are. And I'm just kidding, Sagittarius people. I know very little about the sun signs. Then we have our identity tied up with what has happened in our past. I'm a college dropout. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a divorcee. I'm an adult incest survivor. And these labels influence how we perceive ourselves. I'm not suggesting that what we went through wasn't significant. I'm just suggesting that when we identify who we are now with our past, then our past will have a huge impact on our future. In fact, I believe as long as we identify ourselves now as our past, then our past will resurrect itself and become our future. Now think for a moment. If you were looking to make some new friends, some people just to hang out with and talk with, and I said, oh, I know just the person you should meet. They believe themselves to be an adult child of an alcoholic parents, the product of a dysfunctional family. They're terribly codependent. And I listed a few more of these negative labels. Would you be excited about meeting this person and having them as your new friend? You get the picture. What I'm asking you to examine is, do the labels and the stories you tell about yourself support you in having the kind of life you want? In the beginning, when I was sick, I did not know how to relate to myself so that I could face my life with power and authority. I just knew I had to give up my story of self based on my past if I was going to start moving to the health I wanted. As I told the psychiatrist, I'm not my stuff. If you are going to have more of the kind of life you want, you have to be willing to give up some of the labels and stories you have used to define yourself, because these labels and stories may also be holding you in the box that you're trying to get out of. Can you imagine what it would be like for you not to have any labels that limit you? Can you imagine what it would be like to be free, to be whole? If you need a label to describe yourself, how about this one? I'm a unique expression of life itself. Get past your labels. My second suggestion is you will need to take charge of what you think about throughout your day. I'm not just talking about a few affirmations in the morning, and it's more involved than that. Much of what you think about is determined by your surroundings and the input you allow into your senses. When you start to take control of some of this input, you will notice a huge difference just by these simple steps. Read a good book. Not just list books that may give you more of what you need to do before you're okay. Read books that empower you to believe in your dreams. Read books that empower you to believe that you can make a difference in the quality of your life. Books that inspire you about your mind and body and how they work together, and by taking charge of your consciousness, you can also make a huge difference in your body. Read books by people who did it, people who achieved their dream. I can't tell you how many letters and emails and comments I get from people who said, when I read your book, it was so real. So right there. I was so right there with you. And when I got done, I thought, if he can do it, if he can start and go through what he did to accomplish creating perfect health, then I can do what I need to do to have the life that I want. This is your life. Study how to make it what you want, and then apply what you learn. And what you will find is that you are more powerful than you ever imagined. Listen to good music. Music sets the tone for our emotions and where our focus is. I learned that in college. I remember if I had a really early morning appointment, when I would leave my home, I would plug into my Chevy van, which had an incredible stereo system. I would plug in a cassette of John Philip Sousa marches. And by the time I listened to those marches and drove to where I wanted to go, when I got out of my van, I literally marched into, you know, my engagement. When I had a lady over for a candlelight dinner, I found that John Philip Sousa marches did not set the mood. But I had an album by the Jackie Gleason Orchestra called Music for Lovers Only that used to do the trick. I use music today. I have a special music list on my smartphone. I've got the same songs on my computer. Songs like You Never Walk Alone. Songs like You Can Do Magic by Olivia Newton-John. Climb Every Mountain from the Sound of Music. I Believe I Can Fly. Bridge Over Troubled Waters. The Power of Love. I listen to these songs because they remind me of my potential. They remind me of the magnificence that I need to stick with my dreams, that I can fly, and that I'm not alone. Use music to set the stage for your mind. These are the kinds of things that you can do to take charge of what you think about throughout the day. Be aware of what you allow into your mind. Several months ago, I was doing a workshop, and there was this delightful woman in the front row that later I learned was 83. And I was talking about how I began to be aware of how the input I allowed into my mind affected me, and how I had moved away from my old habit of getting up in the morning and starting my day with coffee and the paper, because there was just too many negatives in the paper. And I got about there, and this lady shot her hand up, and she said, "My daddy was a newspaper man, and he told me we have to read the paper. We have to be informed." She said, "I start every day reading 3 papers. And I said, "How do you feel after you read those 3 papers? And she responded, "How do you think I feel? The world is going to hell in a handbasket. I feel terribly depressed." I let her sit with that for a minute, and I said, "Did you ever think of not starting your day with 3 papers? And she responded, "My daddy was a newspaper man, and he told me I've got to be informed." What habits do you have? How do you start your day? Can you imagine what it would be like if you started your days with thoughts of "I can," "I am," "I will"? Can you imagine what it would be like if you started your days by focusing on what you want, what you are moving to, instead of just responding to your challenges and problems like you've probably always done? You have a choice. You can develop rituals and habits of thought that can support you. You can develop rituals and habits of thought that empower you to focus on your vision for your life. Imagine what it would be like if you started your mornings with something like this. "Each day as I awake, I am reminded of how blessed I am to be me. How thrilled I am to be me. I spend time before I get out of bed acknowledging myself, loving myself. I spend time empowering myself. And from that awareness, from that sense of my own magnificence, I move into my day with joy, knowing that all things are possible if only I believe." This is the ideal scene I read every morning before I get out of bed. And I don't just read it. I own it. I feel it. I make it real for me. What do you think your day would be like if you wrote your own ideal scene about how you wanted to move into your day? This is what I'm referring to with taking charge of what you think about. Right, you can start right where you are and begin to make a difference in the quality of your life by choosing the thoughts that dominate your mind. The next suggestion I have is one of the most important things that I did when I was moving into my time in the hospital, trying to figure out how do I get through this? How might I get well? I call it a negative monitor. What I wanted to do was create an aspect of my mind that would be aware of where my thoughts were taking me. And the purpose of this negative monitor was just to do that, to make me aware of where my current thoughts were leading me. Anytime I started to think negative thoughts, my negative monitor made me aware that my thoughts were leading me to a negative story. It wasn't a right or wrong thing. I did not have to change my thoughts or where I was going. There were some times when it reminded me and I was so angry I said, I have a right to go here. And it wasn't a Pollyanna, all things are great type of thinking I wanted to move to. I just wanted to be aware of the thoughts I was allowing to dominate my mind. And when I was aware of my thoughts, I could ask myself if what I was thinking was what I wanted to think. If what I was thinking was leading me and helping me to focus on what I wanted to focus on. If there's any truth to you become what you think about, you will need to take charge of your mental environment, that voice inside your head. And don't be discouraged if you find that many of your habits of thought are negative in nature. They are only habits of thought, and you can change your habits. And you do that one step at a time. Cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. Remember, your habits of thought come from your past, and they may not support the future you want for yourself. You can change those habits of thought by taking charge of the input that you give yourself. You can create new habits of thought that support you rather than hold you back. Read good books. Read inspiring books. Listen to good music. Make your own special music list. Take time to give yourself positive input, because what you do today can make all the difference in your tomorrows. When I was struggling with my health challenge, one of the best things I did was create what I called a statement of being. It was much like my morning ideal scene that I just read about how I wake up in the morning, how I want to move into my day. And the purpose of this statement of being was to give me a context where I could allow what was going on in my now to be going on, and at the same time, my current situation and my current beliefs did not determine what my future would be like. It spoke to my journey of discovery, and it went like this. As I move into this time of creation, I feel the power of something bigger than me moving with me, supporting me, and empowering me. I know that all things are possible, and as I explore how I'm going to create the healing I desire, I will notice this support and acknowledge it. I know that I do not have to figure this out all at once. All I have to do is begin right where I am and consciously choose to move toward what I want. My life is not one problem after another. It is right now a time of discovery and creation, and out of my own being, I feel the joy and freedom that comes with knowing I can create reality. And again, I did not just read this statement. I felt it. I made it real with my imagination. And sometimes I read it over and over throughout the day. What do you think would happen if you created a negative monitor to remind you not to play the negative stories in your mind? What do you think your life would be like if you created an ideal scene that supported you in starting your days with joy and positive expectancy? What do you think your life would be like if you wrote out an ideal statement of being with that supported you believing that you were on track and in discovering and using the tools of choice to create your life the way you want? It's up to you. It may seem almost impossible now, and you can do it. And you do it one step at a time. Another suggestion is be aware of the relationship you have with others. It seems to me that there are more and more people today who play their life based on what I call the quicksand theory. That is, when you feel yourself going down, reach out and take as many people as you can with you so you won't be alone. You know people like that? They're always talking about the problems in the world. Crime, corruption, climate change, the bad weather, war, the negative political climate today. On and on they expound on the chaos and general hopelessness of the world situation. And all they talk about is their dis-ease. How do you feel after spending time with these kinds of people? When I was in the hospital, one of the challenges I had was when my visitors came, they always wanted to ask me questions about the drama, questions about how the surgery went, questions about how I deal with the pain, questions about what it's like to have to give myself an enema in the side every day so I could go to the bathroom in a plastic bag. What I found was after talking to these people, when they'd leave, I would feel depressed. And I didn't want to make them wrong where they were, but I wanted to stay focused on what I was moving to instead of always discussing my problems. So I put a sign on my door that said, "Be positive or be gone." And when people would ask about it, I would just share with them, "I don't want to talk about how awful it is. Let's talk about the good that's going on." It can be challenging to have friends who are negative, and you may find that spending time with certain people or certain friends no longer supports you in feeling and thinking the way you want. Remember, you have a choice. The last specific I want to cover today is that you are not alone in your quest for a happier and more satisfying life. One of the cornerstones in my journey of discovery of my own power was a quote from a famous mountaineer named W. H. Murray. The quote went like this: "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. But the moment one definitely commits themselves, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no one could have dreamed would have come their way. When you commit, providence will back you up. And I looked up providence, and providence in the dictionary is related to the wisdom, the care, the guidance provided by the divine. Sometimes providence means divine intervention. What that quote meant to me, what it still means to me, is that if I do my part in my focus, my actions, and my thoughts, then I will be supported. The idea that God helps those who help themselves. And I found it to be true. When I committed to finding more books that supported me in believing it might be possible for me to get well, those books showed up almost magically. When I committed to finding more stories of people who beat the odds, those stories showed up. Over and over, when I demonstrated my commitment to myself through integrating the choices I could make, I found that my choices made a difference. And I also found I wasn't alone. There was an infinite, loving, powerful presence that watched over and supported me. And when I committed, providence moved too. I don't know what you may be dealing with. I don't know what you have been taught about who you are or what you think your chances are of creating the life you dream about. What I do know about you is that you are powerful beyond measure, even if you don't know that yet about yourself. I know it for you. I know who you are, because I had an opportunity to discover my own power and my own authority over my body and my life. And it was more than just I had an opportunity. I took the opportunity. I used choice, and I created health where they said the chances of me being perfectly healthy were 1,000,000 to 1. The doctors thought it would take a miracle for me to ever be perfectly healthy, and I participated in creating that miracle. It wasn't that I was always on track. It wasn't that I never thought negative thoughts. But I did not give up. It was a challenging time for me, filled with fear, doubt, and dis-ease. And I moved past that and went on to discover how I could take charge of my creative mind. And in doing that, I took charge of my health and my life. How in these few minutes do I reach inside your heart and your mind and reassure you that you can make your dreams come true? You can start right where you are and begin to make a difference in the quality of your life through the choices you make. And if you have to start from "it might be possible," then start from there, because that's where I started. It might be possible for me to be well someday. And from that start, I created perfect health. You can achieve what you want. You can do it. I know you can do it. Next Wednesday, November 13th, same time, join me for part 2 of this 3-part Everybody Wins teleseminar titled Changing Direction: How to Become Excited About Your Life. Remember, it's okay to believe in miracles. It's okay to believe in magic. I'm Terry McBride, and I send you love. I send you joy, and I send you power.